This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by theptadvantage.com, an online personal training software to help you save time and make more money. It's the resource that I go to. Check them out at theptadvantage.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 267. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back on the show Jim Smitty Smith. Jim, how you doing, man?
Great. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
Yeah, so, man, I haven't had you on, like, forever. Like, I started going back through the episodes, and this kind of happens when you do 260-something episodes. You kind of,
right.
you get lost, but it was, it was great. We were able to connect at the Perform Better seminar in Rhode Island just a couple weeks ago, and, you know, finally we were able to meet up and get some stuff going on the show.
Yeah, it was great. It was great seeing you. I haven't seen you in... It seems like years, but I've definitely been following the FitCast. We were just reminiscing about how long it's been on the air and how many episodes. It's crazy that you're still one of the ones that I listen to. You know, whenever a new podcast goes up, and I was just taking notes on the Kelly Starrett podcast from a few weeks ago, and I mean, it's just you've come so far. It's so cool to see.
Well, it's all thanks to, you know, guys like you that agreed to come on the show when I was just some kid in college. So, you know, my thanks go to you and the many other guests that were able to come on and talk. So, you know, again, we're here and obviously the first thing that I'd love to kind of hit on is right now it's the summer. It's kind of off season for lots of athletes out there. What has it been like for you? Have you seen anything that has just kind of like stood out this summer? Is like, man, like I can't believe I'm seeing this in athletes, like in terms of like performance and enhancement that you've been able to do, with changes in the program, anything like that. Like, that's just kind of like a general question I'd love to ask, like, you know, strength coaches out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing I've been seeing and the athletes are coming through is that they're just coming in at such a high level. You know, it's very rare that you get an athlete that comes in, you know, weak and uncoordinated and, in need of a lot of things outside of, you know, just trying to get them more mobile, agile, and hostile. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times they come in, they don't have that strength base. And it's been over the last few years that I've seen, you know, just the athletes are coming in at a different level. And, a lot of our progress that we see and the biggest impact we see is just working on them, you know, just becoming more mobile. You know, and that's a lot of when we were talking about getting ready for this FitCast, one of the things that stood out to me was just the importance of mobility in our programs, especially off season, just getting them, once you get them in better positions, you know, for strength training, then they can lift heavier weights. They can get even stronger, get even more powerful. So, that's kind of what I've been seeing. It's kind of what we've been focusing on.
Yeah. It does seem that, I mean, do you think that the industry is just getting to the point where this is almost like, you know, it's not even an option if you're playing football out there, you're playing some sport, if you're going into the summer, you know, you got to find a place to train.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with the parents. The parents are sort of recognizing that, you know, they don't want to leave their kids behind, or they want to give their kids sort of that advantage or that edge. And so they're, you know, it's almost like a feeder system. They're getting them started early in the weight room. And, I'm seeing a lot more multi-sport athletes coming through, you know, even, you know, the football players, wrestlers and different athletes coming in playing multiple sports. So they have a really good foundation. They're doing lots of body weight stuff, mm-hmm. which is great. And, we just add on top of that.
Very cool. Well, we have a ton of questions that we got from the audience, so we're just going to get right into it and see where it takes us. So the first question comes from John, and he asks, your blog posts and email have been more about motivation and life lessons lately than actual strength training knowledge, and he's really digging that. So he asks, as a strength coach, What values do you think we should all have and stick to in order to be, you know, better, the best coaches that we can be? You know, what are, you know, 3 to 5 values he throws out there that we all need to be successful?
Well, I think a lot of my posts lately have just been centered around the fact or just kind of reflection of me being a father and me getting older. I'm going to be 41 this year. And, you know, once you get to that age, there's sort of a lot of the things that you used to think were important aren't as important anymore. And, you know, being a better strength coach, that's all about, you know, just bettering yourself through, you know, more knowledge. You know, the more knowledge you have, the better you're going to be for your athletes. The more, the better your programs are going to be, the more benefits they're going to see. So being a strength coach is just one aspect of what I'm about, you know, and I can say the best thing you can do, like I said, seminars, DVDs. I travel a ton. You know, I've been in the industry for a while and I still, you know, I saw you perform better. I travel all over. I have seminars that I book that, you know, I want to go and learn. You know, I'm going up to Rand Phones to see Andrew Spina. I think that's how you say his last name. I mean, he has that functional training, the fascial restructuring and different things like that. And, you know, I'm just trying to be better. But like I said, strength coach is just one aspect. The stuff on Diesel was more reflection of, like I said, just me kind of growing up, you know, on the site and just focusing on different things. One of the things that, you know, I personally have come, you know, trying to implement into my life is just living with a sense of urgency. You know, I think that's the biggest thing you can do, you know, as you're evolving as a person, you know, living with urgency. Like Rocky had it right. Rocky III, you know, there is no tomorrow. And I think that you really have to never take time for granted. And, you know, every day, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm just moving from one thing to another, trying to get as many projects done, you know, trying to interact with as many people and, you know, just trying to move, you know, with urgency. The other thing that, you know, is really important to me is just, you know, being kind to others. You know, I've sensed, you know, as I've gotten older, like a few years ago, when I started becoming, you know, more, you know, successful as far as like business or whatever, and the focus on money wasn't there anymore. You know, you have mortgage, you have car payments, you have bills, you have all these things that are like just weighing on your mind every day. And then once you don't have, you know, that restriction or that headache or that, you know, worry anymore, you know, you can start to see what's really important in life. You know, and I got to the point where, you know, money wasn't an issue, and I started wondering, you know, what is my purpose? And I really found that my entire life changed when I stopped thinking about money and started thinking about other people. And that's why I'm so passionate about being a coach, because, you know, I get to help people every day. You know, I get to help make them better, and, you know, not just, you know, in the weight room, but, you know, everybody I meet in life, I look at them differently. You know, I'm not just, you know, talking with people and just waiting for my turn to talk. I'm actually listening to people. I'm hearing what they're saying. And I'm also, you know, just really paying attention to other people. And I think we lose that connection, you know, with the Facebook and the Twitter and TV and reality TV and all this garbage out there. And I think that, you know, refocusing on what's really important and reconnecting with people is really something that changed my life, you know, 180 degrees. The other thing I was going to say was, I did a SteelFit challenge last year, and I was fortunate enough to have some interactions with Mark Devine. He's the creator of SteelFit, and he actually created the SteelFit challenge. And one of the things, he has a book called 8 Weeks of SteelFit, and he has this program called Unbeatable Mind. And I love that saying just because, you know, that's something else that I'm trying to do. You know, a lot of people in life, you know, when they come up against obstacles or they come up against fear or they come up against anything to slow them down, they sort of get stuck. You know, they get stopped in their tracks and they stop moving. And I think having an unbeatable mind, something about that just implies that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, an obstacle or something stops you in your tracks, you know, you're going to continue forward. You know, I tell my athletes, you know, whatever, it's not an obstacle, it's an opportunity. And when you get hit, you know, it's just like Bruce Lee, you're just flowing around that obstacle and you just keep moving, you know, stick and move, just keep moving. And if you do that, you can accomplish great things because there's a lot of people, man, they get hit with an obstacle and they just get stuck for years. You know, I write about it a lot on the site, but if you can overcome that fear, you can, you know, have that mindset where no matter what happens, you're going to keep moving, then, you know, great things are going to happen and you'll always reach your goal because, you know, you'll never stop moving, you know? So just, living with urgency, being kind to others, unbeatable mind. And, you know, like the final thing that I could say is just, you know, find out, you know, what gets you out of bed in the morning. What, you know, if you're walking around during the day and you have $1 million in the bank and you could do anything you wanted, you know, find out think about what that would be and just go do it. You know, some people say live your passion. It's just doing what you want to do and doing it to the best of your ability and never substituting anything else. I mean, you know, in my past, I've worked for corporate America and, you know, I've had to do my passion on the side. I'm not telling you to go out there and quit your job and start living your passion. I'm telling you that you know, you're going to have to work this job, but on the side in your free time, you know, there's a lot of hours in the day to get a lot of stuff done and you can work on your passion until, you know, you start making money with that. And then you can slowly phase out, you know, whatever you're doing that you don't want to do. You know, but, you know, people, they come home from work and they're tired and, you know, they're unmotivated, but, you know, like I said, you got to live with urgency and you got to, if there's something else you want to do than what you're currently doing right now, then you better start working. You better start moving. It's not going to be easy, you know, and, you know, you can make it happen. You just got to believe in yourself and, you know, take, you know, no excuses. So that's sort of a roundabout way to say, you know, that's just the things that I've been thinking about lately and things I've been trying to work on myself.
No, it's interesting because there gets to a point where so many people in this industry, all they're focusing on is like little debates on the internet about how to better, you know, what's the best way to train someone, you know, should we squat, you know, should I overhead press, like all this like kind of minutia crap that people are arguing about. And, you know, they're not really looking at the big picture. And talking to you, tonight, basically after a full day's work, they come home and you're playing with your kids. And now we're recording this at like 9:30 at night.
That's right.
You know, when you're going to get ready to get back at it in the morning, you know, you're living it. It's kind of what it's all about. And I guess, you know, it sounds like what you're saying is that other people need to kind of find what's going to, you know, make them want to do that same thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the things that motivate me, might not be the same things that motivate someone else. You just got to find out, you know, what you want to do and have an amazing reason. They say, you know, find your why. Find out the why you want to do something and why you're doing it. And if your why is strong enough, no matter what happens, you'll keep going. You know, and for me, it's my family, right? So if, you know, I have a lot of work to do and I sit down and, you know, I'm like, oh man, I'm kind of tired. I want to go to bed. You know, I just start thinking about, well, why am I doing this? Well, I'm going to provide for my family. Okay, keep going. And that's it. There's no hesitation. There's no substitution. There's no excuses. I just sit down and I do it because my why is strong enough. So you got to find your why and you got to figure out what you want to do and you just go for it.
You also mentioned at the beginning was, you know, continuing education, and I was wondering if there's been anything out there that's really intrigued you in terms of like the newer stuff people have been talking about, whether it be, you know, like the PRI stuff, the diaphragmatic breathing. There's also like MoveNat, like on and things like that. Has there been anything that's really kind of started to reach, you know, reach the waves, I guess, that has intrigued you at all?
Oh, I've been, the problem is all these good sites, like the Fitcast and Mobility Watt and all these sites, they keep coming out with more and more information. I'm just like dying because, you know, I can only get to so much and I just want to learn as much as I can. I've been really focusing on, like energy system training, like Joel Jameson. I have his book. I got his new, 2-disc DVD. So I'm going through that. I love the breathing stuff. I get into Mike Robertson's breathing stuff. I get into Patrick Ward's, the PRI stuff. You know, I'm on Body by Boyle. You know, there's a couple videos on there from the PRI guys. And, you know, the Anthony Spina stuff, I can't even remember it's like FRC, but it's a seminar that I just registered for up to Mike Ranfone's. You know, there's so much information. I'm just digging all of it. Like I said, the conditioning, like what I've been finding out, I was going to talk about this later, but just the aerobic training, the importance of, the aerobic energy system. And, you know, I've never known, you know, that information and how important it is for recovery and restoration and all that stuff. So, you know, just learning more and incorporating it into our programs, the breathing stuff, we incorporate that into our warm-ups. And we also have some group training breathing drills that we do, some walking ladders that I got from Steve Maxwell, you know, all that stuff. You know, those are the things that I've been working on, you know, and I'm ready to learn. Oh, just today, I was reading through Brett Contreras' site about the hypertrophy and how to build muscle, and the reference to Brad Schoenfeld's study and the different ways that muscle is built and how hypertrophy happens. And I just want to learn more and more. I mean, as a coach, I'm humble enough to know that I don't know everything, and all these guys. If I'm able to read an article or watch a video, and I can get some of the knowledge that they have, you know, that took them years to accumulate, you know, I can't go to every seminar they've been to. I can't read every book they've read. So just getting little glimpses of these different things and how they fit into a program or how they fit into building more muscle, building more strength, or getting athletes better, man, I'm all about it. I just want to learn as much as I can.
I think that's the cool thing is that there are people out there that go like really deep into this stuff, whether it be like Brett Contreras or like Joel Jameson or Kelly Starrett. And like the best thing that we can hope for is that they can give it to us in a way to digest, to understand it, you know, the easiest way possible. But it is a double-edged sword of having the incredible internet that we have available to us. But
right.
So let's continue kind of going through some of the questions. We had a question that come in from Rich. What type of periodization do you use with athletes, and how do you manipulate intensity through a training cycle?
We usually, well, for our strength programs, we usually just run, it's very, very simple. We run 3 to 4 week waves where we wave the intensity from each week to week. So week one, we would start, you know, with like a 55, 65, 75% intensity on our primary lifts. So those were, you know, the way we set up our programs is we have our warm up and our pre-movement prep, our breathing stuff, our soft tissue stuff. And then we move into our primary exercises. So the primary exercise is where we do our strength training. That's what we wave. So the intensity is very simple. The wave is very simple. It's actually something I learned from Louis Simmons. We went up to I took the Westside certification a couple years ago, but that's how they work it. You know, they run a simple 3 to 4 week intensity wave. Second week, it's very simple. All you have to do is increase the intensity on each set by 5%. So where the first set on week one would be 55%, the first set on week two would be 60%. The second set on week one would be 65%. The second set on week two would be 70%, and so on. So it's very simple. We move into our accessory list. That's when, you know, I get really creative. We use all kinds of different protocols. We use rest pause training. We use ladders. We use undulating periodization. And some of the stuff that I picked up from Joe D recently, he does a ton of rep space work and time based work. And I love these types of protocols because they're so simple. Rep space work is very simple. You just take an exercise and you pick a number. So let's say pull-ups. So instead of doing like a normal 3 to 4 sets of 10 to 12 reps, we'll just say you're going to do 50 reps of pull-ups. Okay, and you just try to get to 50 reps in the shortest amount of sets possible with the least amount of rest possible. So the great thing about that is very simple, and it also you can really focus on quality repetitions. So if let's say you know I program 3 to 4 sets of 10 to 12 reps and they can't get 10 reps, then they're on a reps based protocol, then their first set might be 6 or first set might be 8, but they're just going to perform really good quality movements. And by the time they get to 50, instead of doing, you know, maybe 30, 35 good reps and like 15 crappy reps, you know, they're all good quality reps. Time-based sets, again, very simple. Instead of picking a number to shoot for, you just perform the exercise for a certain length of time. Typically, it's like 20 seconds to 30 seconds. We also do like some EDT stuff from Staley. And when we want to keep it simple, very, very simple, like a 1A, 1B superset protocol, you know, and that's how we do it. Very simple. We waive the intensity on the primary lifts, and on the supplemental stuff, we just, you know, it's really no holds barred.
Let's go into the next question from Joe. He wanted to ask, kind of really see what you recommend for in-season athletes for how they train. Like, do you mess with their volume and intensity when they're in season?
Yeah, definitely. When we're in season, the only thing I'm thinking about is maintaining strength and just accelerating the recovery. Like I said before, but sometimes our warm-ups are, you know, 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, just because, you know, our goal is better positions. Now, I got that term from Kelly Starrett because he's always talking about positional mobility and getting into being able to perform a strength movement through a fuller range of motion and starting the movement in a good position and ending in a good position. So I love how he phrased that, but that's essentially what we want. So sometimes the warm-up, a longer warm-up is needed to get them into good positions, you know, getting into a squat position. Normal body weight squats aren't going to get it. You're going to have to get into some goblet squats. Sometimes we even do double traction goblet squats where we do some band traction on each leg while they perform goblet squats. So our warm-up and our pre-movement prep is very intricate. Now, in season, that's the focus. They come in between games or in between practice, and they're beat up. So a lot of our time, the best bang for our buck is just getting them to feel better and getting any type of mobility, any type of warm-up, any type of foam rolling, any type of breathing, all that stuff just speeds up their recovery and, you know, tries to down-regulate their nervous system because they're just, you know, just so beat up. The volume intensity for the workout, we usually just cut it in half. So if, you know, they're doing 4 sets of an exercise, we cut it down to 2 sets. Okay. So just cut the volume in half and we keep the intensity high. We're not going to do, true max effort where they're, you know, 95% of their 1 rep max. They're going to be, you know, maybe 80, 85, 90%. And they're not, you know, they won't hit singles. They might hit like doubles, sometimes even triples. But we usually keep the primary strength exercises down to, you know, a really low volume, maybe like a 10 total reps for their primary exercise. And then the accessory movements, we just play it by ear. You know, that's sort of where the auto regulation comes in. You know, how are they feeling? And that's a lot to do with, you know, our assessment. So the assessment begins when we talk, we have a Jody and I have our CPPS certification, but talk to the coaches when they come in. We say, you know, where does the assessment begin? It begins as soon as the athlete walks. You're always assessing, and the warm up is a prime time for you to assess, you know, what you're going to do with that athlete, you know, during the workout. So I wouldn't be as arrogant to think that whatever you have on the piece of paper is what you must do with that athlete when they get in there, you know, because they might be too far busted up or too far, you know, into, you know, needing recovery to do what's on the paper. So that, that training session might just be the warm up. You know, they might do the warm up, do a little bit of body weight stuff, and then leave. You know, that is going to do them more good than trying to plot, you know, trying to drive through like a workout, just, you know, just to get it in. So, the assessment determines what we do, but, if they are ready for the workout, you know, I would say that the warm up is going to be extended and to accelerate the recovery. And then the strength stuff, usually cut the volume in half and keep the intensity high. Really simple.
You brought up a great point, and it's amazing what you can see from like just an athlete's or a client's body language when they first come into the door.
For sure.
And it's like, I guess I like to ask you, you know, I guess that's where the art comes in, where, you know, maybe it's sometimes they're just having they had a bad day at work, but sometimes they're just like, you know, dead. Like that's, I think, where the cool stuff for Joel Jameson stuff is coming in right now. You know, how do you kind of determine between the two?
If they're ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're athletes. So, you know, I deal with a lot of wrestlers, some football players, and they're not going to tell you because they don't want to show weakness.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
It really is a decision based on, you know, how they're performing. You know, is their head down? Are they kind of just going through the motions? Mm-hmm. Are they wincing, you know, when they're standing up out of a squat? Are they wobbly when they're doing their lunges and stuff? So you might even get into the workout. And, you know, their first couple sets, just they're not, you know, firing out of the hole. They're not, you know, driving the weight. They just, you know, they're lethargic, you know, and that's just a call you have to make. You know, I haven't really played around with the heart rate variability, but I do know that, you know, it's a pretty powerful tool, you know. Yeah, it's just an assessment that I usually make. You know, I've sent athletes home and sometimes they've stayed, you know, to their own detriment and try to push through. But usually it's, you know, it's me saying, you know, it's better. Let's just work on the warm up and, you know, work on your hips, your upper back, drink some water, tons of water, and then just take off.
Talking a little bit about this off the air, but, you know, you have been doing this for a really long time. And Vince wanted to know, you know, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've made, you know, in your career so far?
I don't know if I could list them all here in this hour show, but I think one of them goes back to where I talked about, you know, I'm always trying to get better, you know, and just going to so many seminars and DVDs and reading articles and blogs and videos. And I think, you know, in the beginning, you know, I wanted to be the best so much that, you know, I would implement too many things at once. You know, I would come back from a seminar after I learned 20 new things and try to put them all into the program. The problem is when you do something like that and your athletes change or get better or get worse, you actually don't know what the cause was because you've implemented too many things too quickly. You know, so one of the biggest mistakes or one of the biggest revelations I've had is just to go back to basics. You know, when you find out something new, you know, introduce it very slowly, you know, and do it methodically so that you can track it and to see what the impact it has, on your athletes and on the program, you know. So, you know, you don't have to do all these fancy exercises. The basics work, you know, the fundamental movement patterns, body weight exercises, mobility, all the fundamentals work. In the fancy stuff, you know, you can play around with your high level athletes or guys that are ready to go, but you know, not everyone is ready for that stuff. So I would just say, you know, build your program, create your template, you know, your model. And if you want to introduce things, you know, do it very, like I said, methodically and one at a time. I would say one of the other things that I've done that I wish I could go back and do earlier was that, you know, I never really focused on the business part. You know, I was blogging and I was, you know, going to seminars and I was trying to learn, but I never focused on, you know, making money, you know. And recently, Lori Draper sent me the new Thomas Plummer DVD, and we talked about this earlier, but, you know, he says, you know, how are you going to, you know, have a family? How are you going to have a house? How are you going to have a car? How are you going to pay your bills if you don't know how to make money? You know, and a lot of that is, I mean, all of that is true, you know. And, you know, I have the gym business, I have the online business, and those things take time to build up, and you have to put time into building, not only in the gym, you got to take time in building systems and make sure that, you know, everything that you do is documented. You know, we had a business seminar this year, Joe D and I, for the CPPS certification. And I talked about building systems and documentation, you know, and how do you turn on your lights? How do you train your clients? How do you do your warm up? How do you clean the floor? How do you replace the toilet in the bathroom or toilet paper in the bathroom? You know, those things have to be documented, because at some point in your life, you're going to want to have to step away from the gym and take a vacation or be with your family. I mean, you have to develop systems. You have to make sure that when you're not there, everything is running exactly as if you were there, you know, and building systems is the only way to do it. And the other thing I talked about at the business cert was that, let's say, Kevin Larrabee, your best trainer, Mike Boyle, he sent you everywhere. He sent you to every seminar. He's bought you every DVD. You have all the knowledge in the world, and you know how Mike loves to run the, Mike wants to run the business. Let's say you leave. All the knowledge and all the wisdom that he's imparted in you, he's developed you over the years, he's you know, spent all this money developing you, is gone when you leave. So the idea is you need to create your systems, but you also need to put them into some type of knowledge management repository. And a knowledge management repository is just basically a way to store all your documentation. So let's say a new trainer comes in and he needs to know, well, how do you run the warm-up? Okay, well, let me go into the knowledge management database and find the how to warm up document. And he reads it and he implements it, okay? And what's cool about that is for your new trainers, they can come in and that you can use the KM database as a sign-off, okay? As a sign-off to them being, you know, a full coach on the floor. You know, so it's very cool how everything is integrated. You could have job responsibilities in there. You could have org charts. Everything's interrelated. So you need to develop your systems. You need to store them in a centralized location so that everyone has access to them. And they need to be periodically reviewed to ensure that, you know, they're still viable. They're still up to date. You know, so working on the business, the gym business, the online business is, you know, a whole nother thing. You know, I didn't have an ebook till, you know, I was a coach for 6 years. You know, even then I was second guessing myself. You of all people, and, you know, and I, you know, can attest to sort of how the fitness industry is run, especially around, online products and stuff. And it's kind of a shady type of thing. So, what I would recommend to any new trainer is, you know, don't get caught up and try to make a lot of money. Don't get caught up in affiliate stuff. Don't get caught up in any of that stuff. Just worry about yourself, develop yourself, develop your own following, be trustworthy, be honest, be straightforward, and be absolutely dedicated to the people that support you, your customers, the people on Twitter, the people in Facebook. And you just have to be an honest person. And if you do that and your customer service is above and beyond, then people are going to talk about it and people are going to support you and people are going to come back. You know, you got to think, do you want a lifetime customer or do you want like a one-off customer? If you want a one-off customer, then treat people a bit poorly, have a bad product that doesn't add value to their life. And, you know, don't interact with them anywhere, you know, just kind of hide away. That's how you have a one-time customer that never comes back. You know, so your online reputation is huge, you know, and you have to step very carefully, especially as a new coach coming in, creating new products. Don't get caught up in the money. Get caught up in adding value to people's lives and make that your absolute focus and you'll be all set.
Super well put. I think you know, so many people forget about the business side. There's so many great trainers out there that are fantastic that nobody knows who they are. And, yeah, you know, they don't put any effort in. And I tell even like young people, like, just do what I do. Start a podcast and start emailing people. That's the only way that I, you know, I learned so much from just talking to people on this show and, you know, helped me to somehow make a name for myself at the same time. So,
yeah, exactly.
Before we go, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, What do you have kind of coming up? I mean, obviously you got tons of stuff on dieselsc.com. You're always writing on there. Got some great content, tons of videos and stuff.
Thank you.
You know, what do you have, you know, coming up? Any certs coming up that people should keep a lookout for?
Yeah, we're actually we have a CPPS certification, Joe DeFranco and I, and we have Will Fleming, who's going to be running our weightlifting certification. So, you know, all the weightlifting movements, all the variations. I mean, Will Fleming has an awesome reputation. He's a great coach. And, you know, he's come on to the team to help us with that. We're actually also having our first West Coast certification at the world famous Seal Fit Academy. So Mark Devine said that we could come out and run a CPPS certification out there. That's in November. Our next New Jersey certification is in October. You can go to cppscoaches.com. My website is, like Kevin said, dieselsc.com, and that's about it.
I forget the Twitter, man. How can people follow you on Twitter? You got some awesome stuff on there as well.
Thanks. Diesel Strength on Twitter. It's twitter.com/dieselstrength.
Perfect. Well, Smitty, you know, thank you so much for taking, you know, time out of your night. I know you got a super busy schedule, so it's you know, always a pleasure to catch up, and we got to do this more often, man.
Dude, I'd love to come on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, everyone out there, make sure you check out Smitty's stuff. It's fantastic content. And the show is going to continue. Next up, we have Peter Barber from the PT Advantage. He's going to be talking some more about some business stuff too in just a minute. So stick around. We'll be right back with that. Thanks, Smitty.
Thank you.
With me right now, back again, is Peter Barber. Peter, how you doing?
Good, Kevin. How you doing, man?
Good. So, you know, obviously people heard at the start of the episode, the PTAdvantage.com. We've had you on in the past to talk a little bit about that. But today, we're really going to be talking about the business of training, because, I mean, that seems to be one of the things, and we have so many trainers that are listening to the podcast. This is the one aspect they tend to not really devote as much time and energy into. They tend to always go into, you know, learning the newest exercise or the best templates to use for training clients and stuff like that. So we're here to talk about that. And you know, I was just wondering if you could kind of start and just talk about your background in the business side of personal training.
Yeah, no, I actually had no intention whatsoever of doing anything with business. You know, I graduated from high school. I went right into kinesiology university, you know, went all the way through. And then halfway through my degree, I actually did a work term and I became a fitness director on cruise ships. I thought it'd be a cool way to kind of get away and travel the world and get a work term done at the same time. So I did that. But while I was away, one of the biggest parts of being a fitness director on cruise ships was selling stuff. And so I actually opened my eyes a lot to the concepts of not only selling personal training services and group training services, but also selling products. Like we had to sell, you know, different types of fitness products and detoxes and stuff like that. And it just really opened my eyes to the business side of it. So I came back. I finished my degree. I mean, in the process of all that, I did personal training in a multitude of your different big box gyms as we went through. Shortly thereafter, I started managing a small studio. Then I moved on to I was a regional coordinator for our province here in Newfoundland in Canada, and we had four different gyms in the province there at the time in that big box gym. And I just kind of realized I saw that end of the business, and I saw a lot of holes. I know there's a lot of really good trainers out there that work in the big box gyms, but they're not maximizing their potential for a number of different reasons that we'll talk about in a bit. But I did that for a while, and then I realized, you know what, I think we could just do it better. So I left on really good terms with everyone there, and I actually started my own one-on-one personal training studio. That was pretty small, but it started working really well. We delivered a high quality service with like functional training, stuff like that. Then I was approached about a year and a half after I opened my business. I was approached by a larger company to first they wanted to buy my company, but instead I decided to actually merge. So I became an owner in this other company called Max. And the Max Fitness and Conditioning Center now that we call it. And then we just kind of blew it up from there. So now we got three locations around our town here now. And then also the other thing that we got involved with throughout all of this was the PT Advantage, which I'm a co-owner in. And that was really all about just, you know, solving issues. And I kind of ran this first when I was at that big box gym as a regional coordinator, the issues that trainers find, you know, in regard to making money. Because I realized at the end of the day, you can love what you do, but if you don't make money, end of the day, you're going to have a hard time making a living at it. So that's kind of my background.
We can't kind of underemphasize that part, because we were just talking off air about going to the Perform Better Summits and stuff like that, and even talking with, you know, other young, not even just young trainers in the industry, but vets who are still like making the same amount of money that they were making 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and doing more work. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is, like, you know, the biggest financial roadblocks for trainers. Like, what are people doing wrong so that they aren't making more money?
Yeah, it's I have three big things as to why people aren't making money that I've found both in small studio and big box gym. So I'm talking to everybody when I say this. So the first thing is what I call like the time conundrum. So what this means is there's a couple points there. So at the end of the day, you can only get paid so much per hour. So, and there's only so many hours in the day that you can work. So even if, let's say, you're at the higher end, you're charging $150 an hour, still you're completely limited. You have a glass ceiling that's going to keep you down from the amount of money you can make. So that's the first issue. The second thing is you can only make more money by working more hours, which is an issue, because in the day, most trainers, if they're really busy, let's say they're doing, you know, 35 sessions a week plus. You know, in actual fact, you're actually working probably about 60 hours to do that, because everyone knows that in regard to whether it's a split shift or all the time they put in with, you know, making programs, stuff like that. But, you know, and that to me, that's a little bit frustrating. And I never really liked that, the idea that, you know, if I want to take a bit of a break, I need to take a cut in pay. It never sat well with me. The other thing with that is you can only serve so many clients per day, and they're only willing to pay so much. So you're completely limited with the whole time pay conundrum is what I call it. So that's the first issue. Second issue is unpaid time. As trainers, there's all kinds of stuff that we have to do to stay on top of our game, whether that's self-education, whether that's making programs, you're, let's say, answering emails at 10 o'clock at night after a long day, you're sitting down making programs, all this sort of stuff is unpaid time. You're only paid for when you're actually doing face-to-face time with a client, which is also a huge issue that a lot of trainers, I had loads of great trainers. They were, you know, very busy. They were working hard. But end of the day, they actually left the industry. And it's really sad, actually, because they were contributing a lot, but left the industry because they realized these sort of issues. And the last thing is, you know, there's no freedom plan. So today we're going to be talking about making more money, and a lot of people look down on it because, you know, the purists, they'll say, you know, it's all just about, you know, the quality of the product, and don't get me wrong, I'm 100% on board that you got to have a quality, solid product, you got a lot of education behind you, and you got to give people results. That's a fact. However, it's not necessarily about making more money. It's about your freedom. The more money you make, the more freedom you have to do stuff. Now, that could be freedom to travel to more seminars, to get even more educated. But unless you have money, you can't do that. So the whole idea, and better yet, if you're working all the time, if you're working 60 hours a week, you realize that, okay, if I'm going to go to this, let's say we're talking about the Perform Better Summit. So if I want to go there, so not only do I have to pay for the flight to go there, pay for it to actually go to the conference, I also got now to really, I'm losing money because I'm not making money back at home. So all that's an issue. So the concept is people should be learning that they got to work less, but also learn how to make more money.
And again, one of the big things that I've talked about in the past is kind of my resistance for a lot of like sponsors and stuff out there. And, you know, the reason why, you know, the PT Advantage is a sponsor is because of the great opportunity and the great kind of system that you guys have set in place for trainers. And, you know, when it comes to like extra revenue sources, what are some solutions out there for people? You know, does it seem like, you know, for me, doing distance coaching has been a great source of extra revenue where I can just do a couple hours of work a week and, you know, the clients are off and running on their own. What have you found?
Yeah, there's a couple different things, you know, that trainers that I've found that trainers can do to actually earn more money. And the first thing, before we get into like the online side, because you're 100% right, I'm going to talk about a way to, you know, residual income is an answer. But first of all, and this is kind of funny because I hire a lot of you know, strength coaches, kinesiologists, personal trainers all the time. But so this first point is kind of almost laugh in the face of that concept. But the hint is you'll never get rich working for somebody else. A lot of trainers don't realize that. If you're working – now, don't get me wrong. You might have to start off there. You might have to start off working for somebody else. You might have to start off you know, working the big box gyms just like I did too. So I hear you, to get a name for yourself, get the experience. But in regard to your long-term plan, what you're trying to accomplish, the only way you're going to be able to get rich and have that freedom to do what you need to do is if you're working for yourself. So that's the first point that I want to kind of throw out there for everyone to understand. The second thing you have to focus on is increasing your hourly earnings. So that leads me to the concept of group training or semi-private training, something that a lot of people overlook very quickly. And sometimes you're limited depending on where you work. Like there's some types of gyms that actually their pay structure doesn't allow for this. So I go right back to my first point, which is you're never going to get rich working for somebody else. But you want to understand the concept that right now, especially with the economic times we're looking at, there's always going to be a clientele that really wants the one-on-one training. But like I said before, you're always going to max out the amount you can earn per hour. But if you start working with multiple people in the same hour, your earnings are exponential. And you know, some of the top guys like Alan Cosgrove and them, they're really big on pushing that down results fitness. You know, and we are too in our gym in regard to group training. It's completely the answer of maximizing the amount of money that you can get out of that 1 hour that you're working. But also the amount of people you can help too, if you're looking from that perspective. You can help some more people in the 1 hour, and also you're helping them too because it's less expensive for them. So they're getting quality training for a lower cost. So really everybody wins. So that's the second point. The next point there is to decrease your unpaid time. So that means be a little more streamlined with your systems. So many trainers are amazing trainers, but one thing that they're very, very poor at is streamlining their processes. I would actually strongly encourage all trainers that run their own businesses to look at the concept called Lean Six Sigma. This is actually an operations tool that a lot of companies use. Like some big companies like Motorola, Toyota, General Electric is probably the one that actually put on the forefront actually. But what it is you sit down and you analyze your processes in your business. Doesn't matter if it's just you by yourself or you have 100 employees. You analyze your business and you analyze your processes. So decreasing your unpaid time is a way of analyzing your process. Say, okay, so what do I do for unpaid time? That's making programs, that's answering emails, that's all the things that I don't get paid for that I need to do to run my business. So what can I do to do that more effectively? This is where we're going to get into you know, things like online solutions, like the PT Advantage, to be able to decrease that unpaid time. I'll get into that in a bit. The next is you need to be able to create more value so you can get people to work for you. So back to that first point, you'll never get rich working for somebody else. you really want people to work for you. I'll never forget the moment when I started my own business after I was the region coordinator. I branched off, started my own business. I remember one morning I was sitting down in Starbucks having a coffee, and I had this like light bulb moment, and I realized, hold on, I got a couple trainers down at my studio right now doing training sessions. I'm making money right now, and I'm sitting here having my morning coffee. It was the most surreal, sort of mind-blowing experience that I've ever had, even though it sounds very simple. But I was earning money while I wasn't at work. It was an amazing concept. So you got to realize that the only way people are going to work for you is to create value. So for me, I created my first studio, honestly, on a $15,000 line of credit. I had no money. I had to get something. But what I do, I create value because I created a facility. So people were willing to come and I could take a cut of what they were giving because I created value because I created the facility. It might not be a facility. It might be systems. It might be a brand. Some people create a really good brand. You could attach to that too, which is, a lot of people that's why franchises work so well. They create value. So as a trainer, you want to branch out. You should be earning money when you're not doing anything. And the only way you can do that is by getting other people work for you. And the only way you get people work for you is if you create value. The next point is residual income. This is the king when it comes to it, because what it is means that people are paying you on a regular basis automatically. So this would be things like setting people up on monthly payments, whereby it rolls over, you're providing a service, but it's continually coming in. This rolls right back into the online training as well. So all these things are different solutions that you have to look at as a trainer in regard to your business. Yes, you got to focus on the quality of the product 100%, but so many trainers forget about the business. And before you know it, you're mid to late 30s and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to work less, but what am I going to do? So find those solutions is key.
Again, this isn't super hard stuff. It's just stuff that, might take a little bit of time to get the ball rolling. But then once it is, you're going to be, you're going to be really appreciating that extra income at the end of the month that wasn't originally there. It just does take a little bit of effort to get things started.
Yeah. And I mean, the key is and one of the things I obviously want to talk on today is the PT Advantage, because that's probably the most pertinent thing for this conversation. But like you said, the key is looking at your business from outside eyes, from standing back and almost at a bird's eye view and saying, okay, what can I do to decrease expenses, decrease time, but increase revenue? And that's honestly why we created the PT Advantage. I was sitting down and I saw trainers. They were making, for example, they were making programs. And they were going on YouTube to find random videos and copy and pasting the link into an Excel spreadsheet or finding pictures and putting that into a Word document. And then they wouldn't save it properly. They wouldn't organize the programs properly. So they were constantly making new programs and they couldn't call back other programs they'd made because it wasn't organized. And it was a hodgepodge thing. And I realized how much time they were wasting, actually doing this unpaid stuff. And I was like, there had to be an answer. I mean, and this was a pretty big chain. There was about 30 locations there in Atlantic Canada. And they just didn't have an answer. I couldn't believe it. The other thing was I had trainers that, at any given point in time, a trainer would be seeing between 15 and 18 people, depending on how many times per week they're seeing each client. And eventually clients do finish for a variety of different reasons. They might move away. You might have been training for a couple of years, and they just want to do it on their own for a bit. But eventually everyone loses clients. But what happens to that client? Do you stop earning revenue from that client the minute they walk away? Well, in my head, that didn't make sense. I was like, well, they can definitely benefit still. They might not want to see you three times a week, but they can definitely still benefit from the expertise. But right now, there was no answer. And that's where it comes back to that residual income. So if your client is used to spending $50 a session, let's say for easy math, it might be more, it might be less, but and they're seeing you three times a week, there's $150 a week. So let's say they finish that, but you're like, I tell you what, I'll give you a new program every 4 weeks and I'll keep you accountable and we'll communicate. But I'm only going to charge you $30 a month for that. I mean, the client, that's a great deal. Jeez, going from $150 a week to $30 a month, still getting programs, still getting accountability, still getting education, which are the key parts of training. It's a deal for them. But as a trainer, your income now is exponential, whereby every client you finish with, you can continually get revenue, residual income from that person, and still add value to that person. So before you know it, as a trainer, you'll have, 100, 150, 200 clients that you're maintaining online. You're slowly cutting back the amount of time you have to be hacking away at doing split shifts in the gym. And you're servicing and you're helping so many more people as a result.
So let's, you know, talk about what's been going on with you guys at the PT Advantage. Again, you know, we had you on a couple of months ago, and now it seems like a lot of the listeners jumped on board and started using it. And, you know, I've been getting a great response. Like every time I get so many emails when people are asking about, oh, like what do you guys use at Boyle's for like distance coaching and stuff like that? And unfortunately, we don't do a lot of stuff there. But I always say, well, if you're going to do that, go to the PT Advantage. They already have the whole system set up for you, and you're ready to go like on day one. So what have you guys been up to?
So like there's a number of different aspects with the PT Advantage that's going to help a person, you know, and we're constantly trying to improve it. Like this is probably like honestly like our fifth version. We're always hearing back from our trainers that are using it and tweaking it to always make it better. So there's a couple of I can tell you different features there. So essentially the crux of it is being able to create and save exercise programs in video format. So we have we filmed over 700 exercise videos. It's done with a glide cam, so it kind of glides around the whole exercise, and it's done real time and slow motion. So a trainer can go in and actually create a program, and then better yet, they can save it and they can organize it based on the name and the type of program it is. So later on, if a trainer wants to go back and say, okay, let's say you got a brand new client, they have, they got lower back pain and they have a right knee injury, but they want weight loss, you know, a fairly challenging client. You've probably encountered something like that client before. So you can go back and easily do a quick query search for programs that kind of fit that. You can bring up a program, tweak it, because no doubt it's not going to be perfect for that client, but you'll already have the structure done. So you'll be able to make that program that probably would have taken you about 40, 45 minutes. You can make the program probably about 5 minutes. So you're saving so much time and it's organized for you. So you can draw upon programs you made 2 years ago if you want to, which is pretty cool. Another thing is that we just added recently actually was a lot of trainers now, especially with technology, how far it's come, they have their own YouTube channels and they're constantly filming their own YouTube videos of different exercises. Unfortunately, they don't have a great way to get it out to the clients. They can, in regard to actually organize as, hey, here's a program for you with videos that I've filmed. There's not great with doing. They can send them to the YouTube channel, but it's kind of disorganized. You can actually upload your own YouTube videos to the exercise database, and then it allows you to actually organize it as a full program. So giving people the ability to be able to actually organize all the data and all the videos they already currently have. Which is awesome. The newest thing we added in was tracking progress with graphs. So now we have, so clients can actually enter in a variety of different parameters, whether it's like weight loss, waist circumference, calories burned, in, out, all that sort of stuff. And it'll actually show them in a variety of different types of graphs. And the trainer can actually go in and see the graphs, see how they're progressing, and then send them messages, see how they're doing with it, which is pretty cool. You can also track your nutrition progress with a nutrition log. You can communicate with them. You can upload info banks. So that could be anything from a quick little 5-minute seminar you want to send out quickly to all 100 clients that you have at the same time. You can just upload it, and once a week you can send it out to them. They can all get that. You can upload anything from different questionnaire forms to informational articles you guys might be writing, all this sort of stuff, and get it out to your clients in a really fast, effective way.
Again, everyone out there, you can check out the PT Advantage at theptadvantage.com. Peter, thank you so much for coming on. Again, if you are in this industry and you're working with clients and you're like, I'm not making enough money or I want to make more money, this is the best way to do it. You probably already have like a website and stuff like that. Just start advertising distance coaching or online training and stuff like that. And this is the best way to get about, you know, hitting the ground running and, you know, giving your clients a great, I mean, because I think that's the important part too. You don't want to, you know, leave the client hanging. You want to give them a great system to go to as well to kind of get information and check it out. So it works great for the trainer and for the client. So again, Peter, thank you so much for taking the time and talking a little bit about the business side. Again, one of those things that we don't always get to hit on as much as we should. We'll definitely be talking to you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Take care, buddy.